Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto. The Lord said this many times. Many times he would give a parable about what the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. What does this mean? Well, he is saying the kingdom of heaven is attained by what he is about to say. Also, that the kingdom of heaven is to become like what he is about to talk about, or unlike what he is about to talk about in this instance. The kingdom of heaven is to become something. The kingdom of heaven is to have God within us, to be pure, to be perfect, to be holy, to be righteous. The kingdom of heaven is a state of being, not a place. We should be becoming that which we will be in the last days, in the kingdom. Now, we will not attain it yet, not this moment, and not tomorrow, and not the next day, but we will attain it indeed, if we are Christians, if we understand what it means to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to put all of our hope in God, knowing that by Jesus Christ we are made capable, and struggling to follow the commandments so that we would be holy. Because if we are not holy, we will not know God. Because God only knows those who are like himself. That's what another parable means. About the judgment, when the Lord says, "I depart from me, I don't know you." He doesn't know us because he doesn't see that we have carefully taken care of the image of himself which he placed within us. And not only the image, but also through baptism and through his manifold graces in everything, has made us capable of becoming righteous. Now, he says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Of course, the king is God. And the servants, or actually a better word for it, is slaves, because the word is slave in the original Greek. Those slaves are us. And he's going to make an accounting. He's going to see. He's going to judge us. One man owes him 10,000 talents, many, many sins. And his Lord is going to command him to be sold with his wife and with his children to pay a portion of the debt. This sale of the wife and children means that he loses everything. We lose everything if we do not follow God. Everything is sold into slavery. And that slavery is the slavery of the devil. The slavery of compulsion to do evil. Inability to see God. But he begs him and he says, "Have mercy upon me and I will pay thee back everything." Well, actually, this is hyperbole. He would not be capable of paying back everything. We can't pay back our debt to God. It is too high. It is too great. But his Lord, seeing his compunction, has compassion upon him. And erases the debt. This is the only way that we can be saved, is for the Lord to erase the debt. Because we can't earn enough in order to pay it back. We have too many sins. We're too weak. We're too capricious. We're too forgetful. But the Lord will forgive the debt under certain conditions. He says nothing to the servant because it should be self-evident to this slave that if he is forgiven such a huge debt, he would remember this and act as his Lord acted when he is dealing with his fellow servants and everything. Not just in whether there's a debt of money. In every case, such as to not be jealous, to be forgiving to someone when they are angry and kind of go off on us. All those sorts of things. Because we should look at ourselves and remember what kind of person we are and where we have come from, and that the Lord indeed has erased the debt. We can't be like the person who looks into the mirror and he sees himself, and then when he turns around and leaves the room, he's forgotten what he looks like. We can't be like that person. We must remember what the Lord has done for us. The kingdom of heaven is remembering. Remembering who we are. How weak we are. How much we need our Savior. And that He has given us freely something that we could never pay for. The kingdom of heaven is to remember. Not to forget. Well, this servant forgot. He found someone who owed him just a trifling sum. Liken this to be where someone offends you slightly, or greatly for that matter, or where someone cheats you, someone yells at you, someone blames you for something that's not your fault. And there are hundreds and hundreds of examples. By the way, do you know why there are so many? You can come up with lists of passions the fathers have. So many passions, so many sins, types of sins, and yet the virtues, there aren't that many virtues in comparison to the passions. You ever notice that? If you read the Philokalia, you would see. It's really, the list of virtues is very short, right? Humility, faith, love, compassion, which is love. There aren't that many. And the reason why is because evil can just become so complicated. But the virtues are simple because our Lord is simple. Now, this man has forgotten who he is and is going to throw his fellow servant for a trifling sum, a trifling sin against himself, a small matter compared to the great matter which he's just been forgiven. He's going to throw him into prison, showing no mercy at all. So his fellow slaves see this act. His fellow slaves are the angels. And the angels come to his Lord and say, "What has happened?" Now the Lord, does he throw him into prison right away? Does he judge him immediately? No. He asks him to make an accounting for himself. The man has nothing to say. And he says, "I forgave thee all of thy debt, and this should have reminded you to forgive others." It's self-evident. There are many things in Christianity that are not said outright in the Gospels, in the epistles, in the entire life of the church. There are many things that are not said outright because they are obvious. They should be obvious to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. It's obvious that if the Lord forgives us a great debt where we did not deserve to have that debt forgiven, we could offer Him nothing in return, that our fellow servants are in the same situation. And their debt to us is a trifling sum compared to the abyss that we owe the Lord. It's trivial. So, we should forgive others, remembering that we were forgiven. This is the key, really, to really understanding forgiveness, is remember that we were forgiven. remember that we were unworthy and continue to be unworthy, because what do we do with the grace that God has given us? Do we pray unceasingly? Do we withhold ourselves from every vice and every sin? Barely. So we certainly continue to be unworthy. And yet the Lord will forgive our debt. But He requires of us that we forgive others. Not just forgive others, but that we act towards others as He has acted towards us. Forgiveness is one of the major, most important of the virtues that we must practice. Because so much of our character tends to remember other people's sins and to be angry about them. And the Lord wants us to be perfected, so it makes sense that He would require of us something that would work on our greatest weakness. An athlete does not work on something that he's good at. He practices that which he is weaker at. So the Lord has asked us to practice forgiveness because we are so weak in forgiving. And we forget so easily. We are like that man who looks in the mirror and he goes away and he does not know who he is. We should not be like that man. We must remember. That's what it means to forgive, is to remember what the Lord has done for you. And then the sins of your brethren against you, certainly there are sins against you. They're trifling. They're trifling. So the Lord is wroth against the servant because, although it does not really give a dialogue, He gave him a chance to answer. He gave him a chance to be repentant. But he wasn't. So He delivers him. His Lord, God, delivers him to the tormentors. Now, what does this mean? Of course, this is the eternal damnation of hell. And what is hell? Hell is not a place. It is also a state of being. It is repentance without any effect. Sorrow, continual, for what we have done. Regret. Shame, never to be relieved. This will be the torment. This will be the worm that ceaseth not, and the fire that is not quenched. The fire will be within us. It'll be that we were given grace and we misused it. And we did not forgive because we were forgiven. That will be the torment. Not fire and tortures. The tortures will be our terrible regret and repentance with no forgiveness. What a terrible place that will be. That is, state of mind, state of being for eternity. Let us not go to that place. Let us remember that the Lord has forgiven us everything. All He requires of us is to struggle to be like Him. There are many, many, many people that will enter the kingdom of heaven, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, sinners all, that still are afflicted by their passions, such as uncleanness and other sins, if they have forgiven others. There will be many righteous in appearance, righteous in outward activity, that will be damned because they will not have forgiven. There's a story of a deacon, I believe it was, and a priest. They loved each other greatly. And I don't remember their names, unfortunately. I'm sure some some of my children with their memories can remember their names. And they loved each other dearly. They served for many years, and then there was an offense between them. And they became angry towards one another, and they would not associate with one another. They refused to serve together. Well, there was a persecution that occurred. This was very, very early in the life of the church. And the priest was taken and was going to be executed. But he stood firm. It did not matter that he was going to be tortured. He stood firm. The deacon was filled with sorrow that he could not, that they still had something between them. So he tried to see him in the prison in order to ask his forgiveness. But the priest would not even see him, wouldn't have anything to do with him. Then when he was going to the scaffold to be tortured and executed, the deacon ran alongside begging him, "Father, forgive me for anything that I have done to offend you." And he would not offer forgiveness, would not even look at him. So then he gets to the scaffold. You know, we have this idea in the church that the blood of martyrdom cleanses all sins. It doesn't. It cleanses all sins, save when we don't forgive. Because this man, when he got to the scaffold, suddenly became frightened, seeing the instruments of torture. And he said, "What am I doing here?" And he said, "Well, you won't sacrifice to the emperor." He says, "I'll do it." So they took him away so that he could sacrifice to the emperor, and he would lose his soul. He lost his nerve because the grace of the Holy Spirit departed from him. It had remained with him in order to allow him a chance to forgive. But when he would not do it, at the last instant, the Holy Spirit departed. And without the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. We have no ability. We would all be terrified in the face of torture. Every single one of us, if we did not have the Holy Spirit within us. Every one. So, he went away to torture, and the deacon cried out, "I too am a Christian," and he was sacrificed and gave up his life for the Lord at that time. Now, the blood of martyrdom does cover many things, many sins. But the blood of martyrdom is not the most effective way to be in the kingdom. The most effective way, the most sure path to the kingdom is to forgive other people their sins. And if you practice this carefully, there will be other ancillary effects in your life. You will become more pure in many, many other ways because the Lord will see. He said, "Well, good, well done, now good and faithful servant," he will say. And he will say, "I'll give you more things. I'll make you Lord over more things. I'll make you Lord over your temper. I'll make you Lord over your lust." If we forgive. So this parable tells us what the kingdom of heaven is not, but also what the kingdom of heaven is. You have to read a little bit between the lines. The Lord is good at requiring us to do this. The kingdom of heaven is to remember who we are and what the Lord has done for us, and to desire to act as the Lord has acted towards us to other people. And then there will be a perfecting of our members. And everything will be made clean and whole and perfect and without any disease, without any sadness. All things will be made new if we forgive. So brothers and sisters, let us forgive. Amen.